Up next, the news you can use from YAA.
It's your 30-minute fix for all your car questions,
industry news, and tips you can use when buying your next vehicle.
We're your hosts, Ray and Zach Shevska, the founders of YAA.
We're here every weekday, live at noon Eastern. Check us out at joinyaa.com. Come on! Get in! It's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey, and this is news that you can use from YAA with your hosts, Zach and Ray. How's the weather there in Bethesda, sonny boy?
Doing great, and the weather's good here, Pops. Good morning, America. Let's do this. Yeah. Thing. I love that, Justice. Good to see you this morning. Kat and Mr. DJ, you are correct. We are going to talk about GM canceling customer warranties. This is going to be a fun one. David here with us this morning. Dwayne's here. Igor, good to see you this morning as well. Happy Hippo. Thanks for being here. Pops, how was your weekend?
It was uneventful. I got to meet some residents in the building Saturday night when I snuck over to Jay's after we did our live stream. Had a wonderful time there. And yesterday, you know, just kind of took it easy a little bit. Well, wait, I do that every day. I do the nap every afternoon. It was wonderful.
Chad here with us saying some definite changes in used car demand here in the Midwest. Chad, please do share more. Black Book update coming out tomorrow. We'll have an update on the show. Dad, let's jump straight into it here. We have from General Motors, this was reported on GM Authority, and then also The Drive has an article on it. Dad, heck, I'm surprised we don't have an article on it yet. Let's talk about it here, Dad. The headline from The Drive. GM will drop certain warranties for the Z06 if it's sold within a year. This also extends to the Hummer EV and the Cadillac Escalade. VDAD, General Motors is going above and beyond to control what consumers can do to their cars after they purchase them. This one's interesting, Pops. Let us know. Cue us up. Share with us what's going on.
They're going above and beyond to figure out what they can do to their customers. Why? Their whole deal. If I can remind General Motors of what their job is, their job is to design, engineer, build, and sell their vehicles to their dealer body. The dealer's job is to then turn around, market, and sell those cars to whoever the hell wants to buy them. And in some cases, in times past, you had to beg somebody to buy them. And in other cases, people had to beg you in order to buy one from you. But the customer who bought it is the customer who bought it. Now, is General Motors and some of their enthusiasts upset that there are flippers, brokers that have relationships with dealers, and the dealers get them sold units so that the broker or flipper can buy it and then turn around and sell it for a huge profit? You think maybe they're splitting some of that profit with the dealer who was kind enough to sell it? Perhaps. I don't know for a fact. It would just be a supposition. But you know what? That's between the dealer and the buyer, and it has nothing to do with General Motors beyond that point. Nothing. Their job is to build it and deliver it to the dealer. That's it. So to punish the second owner who might go ahead.
Let's slow down because let's explain what's actually going on here, Dad.
Okay.
Let me pull it back up on the screen and let's all look at it and read it together.
Okay, well,
earlier this week, it was reported that GM was trying to reduce the amount of flippers buying and selling certain cars, such as the upcoming Corvette Z06. GM had sent out an email to Z06 order holders offering them $5,000 worth of rewards points if they kept the car for at least 1 year. However, GM is taking even further action to prevent people from flipping its high-demand cars. A GM spokesperson told The Drive, for certain high-demand products, we are, quote, limiting the transferability of certain warranties and barring the seller from placing future sold orders or reservations if the vehicle is resold within the first 12 months of ownership. This applies to the Z06, the Escalade V, and the Hummer EV. Dad, that means, let's be very clear here, that means that if someone bought one of these vehicles and then within a year were to sell it to someone else, their warranty would no longer be active. The transferability of that warranty would not be honored by General Motors. when someone buys a vehicle or any piece of original equipment that was manufactured, it comes with a warranty. This is from the 1975 Magnuson-Moss Act that was passed. You get a warranty. Two people can sell you warranties. An OEM, an original equipment manufacturer, and the retailer. Those are the only two people who can sell you warranties. That's why we call them vehicle service contracts. Everyone colloquially calls them extended warranties. They're vehicle service contracts. The point here is, Dad, GM is trying to control what happens down the line. They are now taking away the transferability of a warranty. The warranty's tied to the car, not to a person. What if someone dies? What if someone needs to sell it because they have financial hardship? What, like, how does this even stand up in court is kind of the question that goes through my head.
Well, I'm not a lawyer. Didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Never played a lawyer on TV. But it would just seem to me that the warranty is for the car, not for the individual who bought the car. The car is covered against defects in materials and workmanship for a certain period of time. It has nothing to do with who owns that damn piece of machinery. The machinery is warranted, not the owner. So I don't know how legally they can say, well, if you have to sell it within the first 12 months of ownership, parts of the warranty aren't transferable to the next buyer. How could that possibly be? How could that possibly stand up in court? And I wouldn't think that it would take too many losses in court for GM once they're sued for trying to implement something like this. I don't think it would take too many losses in court for them to back off. I understand that they resent the fact that somebody else is making big money on the product that they built, that they made big money on when they sold it to the dealer. But that shouldn't be their concern. Their concern, in my humble opinion, should be to figure out how to build quality vehicles instead of figuring out how to control who makes money off of them once they've wholesaled it to a dealer. Go figure out how to build a good car, okay? Go figure out how to deliver a quality car, so that we don't have all these recalls, so that we don't have all these issues, so that we're not looking at ways to force people to have to buy OnStar for 3 years. Concentrate on building a good car. Stop concentrating on how to control the economics after you've delivered it to a dealer.
You just reminded me of something. GM is requiring OnStar as part of the purchase of their vehicles now too.
On some
subscription.
Of them. On Buicks and GMCs. Not all, but on the Buick brand and the GMC models. So I'm not often speechless, but I would suggest if I could have a conversation with Mr. Carlisle and Miss Barra, I would suggest just build the damn cars and don't worry about the economics after the fact. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing when it comes to buying and selling the car after you've made your money. All the money they're making is when they wholesale it to the dealer. So don't concern yourself with anything else.
Let's jump to the chat here, Dad, from Buddy. Is this the same GMs that said they would punish dealers for price gouging and that went real well? Yeah, I mean, they sent out that memo saying, you know, dealers shouldn't mark up prices. And obviously, just go look at any GM dealer website. And obviously, they are. And interesting here from Mark, Dad, and we'll pull this up. I thought Ford recently announced a traceable name requirement for the purchase of a new vehicle to prevent dealers from, quote, canceling and then marking up vehicles once they're in inventory. Ford has put into effect more strict rules. We let's turn our attention there. I'll share this on the screen. This comes from Cars Direct, Dad. Ford adds harsher penalty to stop brokers, resellers. Same thing that GM is trying to do. The article reads, Ford is implementing some of the harshest penalties we've ever seen to stop brokers and resellers, according to a bulletin sent to its dealers today. Ford has updated its definition of what constitutes brokering and is threatening to take away entire dealer vehicle allocations on some of its most highly anticipated cars. While Ford has had a policy discouraging brokering, reselling, and exporting its vehicles for quite some time. Today's changes add significant amount of detail to what behaviors fall within this policy. This move comes after Ford updated, and this is what Mark was talking about, a customer name match policy to prevent abuse amid an inventory shortage. And Dad, the new anti-brokering policy reads as such, quote, brokering includes the utilization of any third party to wholesale transfer or otherwise deliver inventory, especially vehicles in high demand, including but not limited to Raptor, F-150 Lightning, and all specialty vehicles. Additionally, any non-Ford dealer or non-Lincoln dealer that provide vehicle and inventory relocator services, automotive transfer assistance, dealer trade facilitation, and or any other company by similar name or service is considered a broker. And if they are brokering, a dealership is, the first offense may result in a one-to-one reduction of future allocation by the amount brokered. The second offense may result in all same model allocation being redirected for the current or next model year. A lot of talk from Ford, Dad. A lot of talk from Ford.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say it again. They shouldn't concern themselves with what happens with the vehicles after they've sold them to their dealer body. Okay, their only obligation at that point is to warrant the vehicle, take care of any warranty issues on that vehicle. Nothing more. You know, when they sell directly to Hertz or Budget or Avis, okay, and then Hertz or Budget or Avis could decide, you know, we're only going to put a couple hundred miles on this vehicle before we send it to our used car lot because we can make money on it that way. Who are they going to punish then? Don't concern yourself with what happens after you sell the car to your dealer body. And if a dealer wants to sell it to a broker, they should be free to sell it to a broker. If the dealer wants to sell it to a known flipper and the flipper's money is good, then let them sell it to, you know, because the dealer's job is to move the metal, as we say in the industry.
I've got something to read you, Dad, because this is where the OEMs should really be focusing their attention. I'm not going to disclose this person's name, but it's Instagram messages. We just purchased a Ford Maverick. This was this morning. We just purchased a Ford Maverick for our construction business. The sticker price was $27,000, but the dealer, salesperson, sales manager, and finance manager all shamelessly said there's an automatic $5,000 markup because the truck is in demand. We were purchasing cash with zero financing, and they spent 4 hours trying to convince us that they had to run our credit. They even tried to sell us on 0% financing. We didn't need it or want it. We left the same day having paid $36,500, over $9,000 above sticker, and were told if we didn't take this deal, we would be crazy because they wouldn't have another one until April of next year. That's what Ford needs to work on. That story that this person Instagram direct, don't... If you fix that, you know what you'll fix? The flippers. You know what else you'll fix? You'll fix all the downstream consumers getting upset. I mean, truly, like, fix this. And, Dad, I posted a TikTok this morning because Ford came out, you know, with their harsher penalties. And you know what I showed in that TikTok? All of the trucks that I've seen recently with additional dealer markup. Take care of that first. It's all talk. Take care of the dealer markups first. That's the first thing to take care of. Ugh.
I just know from all my years in the business that every manufacturer makes all their money once they've wholesaled the vehicle to the dealer. Okay, and that's it. They should have no further control. And when I say that, if a dealer wants to mark it up and somebody wants to pay the markup, well, don't take this wrong when I say it, but that's the customer's fault for agreeing to it, okay? If there's an addendum label, it's like any other contract. You can accept it, reject it, or amend it. You could either say, okay, I'll pay that $50,000, or I won't. Go ahead.
Is that not the opportunity for the OEM to build goodwill with the consumer and to step in and say, okay, dealer body, you can no longer sell our new vehicles with addendum labels. This is a blanket rule. You can no longer do it. That would be so much goodwill that the OEM would build with the consumer, especially, Dad, especially when I think Mark's right. Sounds to me like all the power is going to the manufacturers now. It seems like they will be the dealers of the future. Yeah, we're already seeing that with Ford Model E, Dad. But why not do that?
they can't do that because it's a manufacturer's suggested retail price. You know, when the market's soft and there's $10,000 worth of incentives from the manufacturer and the dealer to reduce the selling price of the vehicle to get you to buy it, you're not complaining then. Okay. And if the market conditions are such like they are right now, where there's demand and short supply, you know, the basics of economics is that it's supply and demand. If a dealer wants to ask for it, they can. And that should be of no concern whatsoever to the manufacturer, because they don't have any power over that. They don't have any authority over that. You know, their power is to build good cars, is to build quality, not to try and constrain how vehicles are sold or who they're sold to. That is irrelevant. The only reason they build them is for somebody to buy them. That's what's happening. It's up to the customer to say, no, I won't pay that addendum. I won't pay that additional dealer markup. And if enough people say, no, I won't pay it, then dealers will stop charging it. You know, it's an ask. It's not a requirement from the dealership. It's an ask from the dealership. So,
Popson, I pulled it up on the screen here. I pulled it up on the screen here, markups.org. Obviously, we sponsor markups.org. Yeah, I mean, this is the crowdsourced resource to find dealership. Here you go. Fred Beaton's Ford of Boyerton. No markup. Right above them, Arlington Toyota, $9,500 markup. Ontario Hyundai, $15,000 markup. Markups.org is doing a great job collecting this information. We're proud to be aligned with them, to be part of what they're building. So that's a good resource to try and find the dealers who aren't doing the markup. So I agree with you, Dad. But I do think, and I see your comment here, Igor, Ford legally can't mandate the price on product that they already sold to their dealer bodies. However, they can just decide that their warranties are no longer transferable. Like, honestly, to me, they can. The thing is, they can. Then they can go fight legal battles. And they're choosing which legal battles to fight is, I guess, a bit of the point I'm trying to make here. And they don't want to fight their dealer body because the dealer body holds them hostage a little bit in situations like these. So they have these creative workarounds.
The
dealer body is
the way that they sell the cars. So yeah, that's why it's an MSRP, manufacturer suggested. It's not – these are not called – the retail price. That would be end of sentence if it was the manufacturer retail price and that's only what people could sell them for. So
what do you think of this comment from Mark Dead? So maybe the dealers that don't abuse the system via additional dealer markup will be rewarded with higher vehicle sale throughput and perhaps allocations. That'd be interesting. Let's positively incentivize dealers to play by the rules.
But how can they do that? Isn't that discriminatory? You know, part of the sales and service agreement with the manufacturer is to meet your sales objectives that are set by the manufacturer. So now suddenly they're going to tell you, well, we want you to sell X number of cars a year. Oh, but you can't sell to this person. And that person might be the one that makes you miss your objective. I mean, how do you do that? They build them, they wholesale them, they warrant them. That's it. That should be the end of it. Okay. I'm sorry. And I know I think of a lot of things in the KISS terms, keep it simple, stupid, but to me, it's just that simple. They build them, they wholesale them to the dealers. They're done. That's it. They no longer have a position where they can control what something sells for, other than when some of the POSs don't move at all or are not desirable at all, and they have to put huge incentives on them to convince customers to buy them. Well, and when they have to do that, that's a function of their own stupidity for how they built the car or what they thought might work. You know, that's their risk that they took. But otherwise, hands off. After you've wholesaled to the dealer, you're done. You are
done.
You no longer have a right.
What do you make of, obviously, Tesla has shown a bit of a light on the kind of monopolistic, we do everything with the car. I bet you that my supposition is that makes you a little nervous. Like, imagine Ford or GM in the Tesla model where it's fully vertically integrated. They own the whole thing. You know, they said, and we're already seeing this with Ford. Remember Ford leases on some of their new vehicles, the EVs? Uh-huh. You can no longer buy out your lease at the end. So, I mean, we are already starting to see them take more control of essentially the consumer relationship with the vehicle rather than just manufacturing it, wholesaling it, warranting it. They're taking more control. We are seeing that, Dad.
Yeah, but until they do away with the dealer body, they really shouldn't and they really can't. Okay.
Yeah.
And trust me, if the dealers wanted to, they will fight them tooth and nail on those things, because the way the dealer makes the money is to sell the car. And that was the whole concept behind the franchise agreement. I suspect that many of the manufacturers look at what Tesla's doing and they say to themselves, oh my God, we could be making billions and billions and billions of dollars more if we didn't have a dealer body. Perhaps they could, and perhaps at some point they will try to make that happen. But until that happens, they should keep their hands off. They should have nothing to say. And besides the point, it's all just BS, public relations BS, to placate customers. Okay? And I said it earlier, part of it falls on the customer's shoulders to just say, no, no, I won't pay that. And if enough customers stand up as a group and say, no, I won't pay it, then the dealers won't ask for it. Just remember, it's a dealer ask. It's not a dealer mandate. It's not a requirement. They're asking for it. You don't have to give it to them. You just don't.
Yeah, you're right, Dad, obviously. No.
I'm sorry, I need to go take some blood pressure medicine now.
You already took it this morning, didn't you?
I need another.
All right, let's switch gears. We're going to do two things. First, we are going to give my dad a quick, what are we going to do? We're going to, let me hit the right button. We're going to give him a quick round of applause.
That was lukewarm at best.
Reason being, Pops.
Yeah.
Your letter to the editor was just published in Automotive News. If you thought, and this is going to be coming out in the print editions, let me zoom in here. If you thought we were going to get off of our high horse about this FTC stuff, you were wrong. You were wrong, because the FTC regulations, we feel strongly that they need to be implemented and enforced. Your letter to the editor, Dad, was published talking about, obviously, how the industry needs to embrace the suggested changes by the FTC, not fight them. And obviously, you're referencing the community quote here. The comments left on the Your Advocate Alliance website and YouTube channel show that average Americans are completely disapproving of the tactics they encounter when buying and financing a vehicle at dealerships all across our country. Dad, I grew up, in your household when you were in the industry getting automotive news delivered. Now, twice in about 3 weeks, we're getting mentioned in Automotive News trying to be advocates for these FTC rules. Congratulations on getting that opportunity to share your voice, and a huge congratulations to the community. Our voices are being heard, and we're helping absolutely to frame these federal regulations.
I had read an editorial from Automotive News where they felt that the FTC was moving too quickly. I'm thinking to myself, moving too quickly. This crap's been going on for 100 years. What do you mean moving too quickly? And I just felt compelled that I needed to speak on behalf of somebody that had spent so much time in the industry. I did not suspect for a moment that out of all the letters to the editor that they must get, that they would say, yeah, let's put this in an industry publication that's in favor of the automotive industry. And this guy's talking about, hey, the automotive industry needs to do something differently. I didn't suspect for a second that they would do that. I was thrilled when I found out Thursday that they were going to. And hopefully, just hopefully, we can start to make a difference. We can convince dealer principals that there is a better way, and they should embrace that better way, and they should want to be a part of moving the industry towards that better way. And if that happens, then I will feel like I've truly accomplished something in life other than having made a decent living for a long time in the automobile industry.
And to Mark's point here, Pops, you're going to get your own Ray Shefska stamp of approval. Very Thank proud you. Of you for truly being like the champion here for these regulations, these proposed regulations. And we have that over 1,500 comments now on the FTC website. We were at, 1,300 or 1,400 on Saturday night when we yes. streamed. So obviously next Saturday night when we check in, we're hopeful that we'll be closer to 3,000. It's important that our voices are heard because you're right. That has been going on for decades. Moving too slowly. That's hilarious. They're going on for decades. And
yeah.
And the thing is, Dad, I bet you that the whole world gets millions, tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of hours of productivity back the moment you make buying a car, financing a car, insuring a car, make the whole thing more efficient. Like there's so much time to come back to humanity, and we will find better uses for that time than grinding a customer down to hold extra gross profit on a car deal. Like you laugh, but that's how you got paid for 40 years, right? Like well, it's no, insane.
You know, I mean, the whole thing here, I mean, the word you used was grinding a customer down. And here's the other side of it. The customer felt like they had to grind the dealer down. So
yep.
The whole concept was it's got to be a grind. And I'm telling you from having done it, it does not have to be. Okay. There are ways to do it where it's pleasant. It's enjoyable. It's transparent. It shouldn't take, once you've selected a car, it shouldn't take more than another 30 to 45 minutes because the pricing would be transparent on the car. The only argument you might have at this particular point in time is the value of your trade if you have one. But I picture in my mind's eye, at a certain point in time, there would be like a used car clearinghouse that would put you would put in the information. It would spit out the number that it's worth, and the dealer and the customer would be bound by that number. And the dealer could say, okay, I'll keep that car and retail it, or I'll send it to this clearinghouse that put that number on it. It should be that simple. And it can be. If people would just change their attitudes.
Well, change their attitudes and also realize that the outsized profits that a lot of corporations are making right now with the system working the way it is will not be the way that it works 10, 15, 20 years from now, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, because there are entrepreneurs like me, Dad, out here who are determined to make it more fair and more efficient. So until someone proves that there are other economic models, other ways to make money here, but not be so damn greedy about it and to be more fair and transparent, they're going to keep operating the way they are. Because you and I both know it. Money talks, you know, wherever the revenue is coming from, they're going to dig. These corporations are going to dig their heels in to protect that. We got to help people see the light that you can actually drive costs way down because it's way more efficient and still make money. Not that crazy of a concept. We've seen it in other industries. Hopefully we're starting to champion some of that change here in auto as well.
You know, if a typical time to purchase a vehicle is 4 to 6 to 8 hours. Call it 6 hours.
Dad, there's data out there. It's more than that.
Okay. Well, let's just call it 6 hours.
Okay.
Sure. That a customer has to spend at a dealership. Okay. So that means the salesperson is tied up with that customer for 6 hours. Okay. A sales manager is involved with that salesperson and God knows how many other salespeople at the same time working multiple deals simultaneously. But imagine the productivity if that 6 hours was cut down to an hour. Okay, say 2 hours. Okay. So that instead of a salesperson being tied up for 6 hours, the salesperson is then free again 2 hours after meeting the customer and delivering a car to go take another customer. Most dealerships are open 12 hours a day. Yeah, on a good day, a salesperson could handle two customers. In this new scenario, the salesperson could handle six. Which way would be more productive? It doesn't take a genius to figure this stuff out. But the concept, because you used the word before, grinding, the concept from the dealership is, well, we're gonna take forever to grind this deal out to wear the customer down. That's what's got to change.
Completely agree, Dad. Unequivocally agree with you. There's no place in the 21st century for us to have businesses that are just predicated on grinding people down. I truly don't get it. All right, Pops, I want to share with everyone who's with us, Dad. I know I brought it up just the other day. We launched a new partnership for YAA members very recently. If you head to the joinyaa.com website and you click on this sell tab, we partner with a company called Carwiser. And Dad, I want to demonstrate for you how easy it is to see what your car is actually worth. And better yet, all of the different, I'm going to call them iBuy offers that you can get in one place. We've got a Honda, not 280,000 miles. We've got a Honda Accord here that we're going to run a quick valuation on. A Honda Civic. I'm going to use a Denver zip code. Okay. Just to demonstrate that this works everywhere. You ready for that?
Sure. Oh my God.
All right. So we've got my 2018 Honda Civic here. I'll even zoom in here for you, Pops. So what this does, asks you all the different options you have. We're not going to add any accidents, clean title. Yeah, I own the vehicle outright. Yes, I have the title. Same questions that you would get hit with if you were to go to Carvana's website or if you were to go to Vroom, anything like that. You think it's going to work today, Dad?
God, I hope so.
Vehicle runs, it drives, no warning lights, no maintenance, no fluid leaks, no save and continue. Under 10,000 miles, no issues with the tires, no. Yes, I have the key fobs, two or more. Aftermarket parts installed, no. Buying another vehicle, sure. Here's my email address if you want to contact me. Let's get some offers.
Okay.
All right, Pops, big money, big money, big money.
Yeah,
big money.
I'm waiting.
Money that's big.
Yeah. The good news is
I blew on the dice this time.
Oh, look at that. That was pretty quick. Yeah.
So we've got here Echo Park will pay $23,319. Car Gurus will pay $22,129. Carvana only offering $16,759. CarMax wants to take a little more time before they bring in an offer. That's pretty cool, Dad.
Yeah, that is.
So there you go. Echo Park would obviously be the one you want to work with. If you end up moving ahead, you create an account with Carwiser and all that fun stuff. They don't spam you. That's why we decided we would partner with them. They don't spam you or anything like that. They just help you. Like if you end up wanting to sell it, then they'll help you facilitate that sale with Echo Park. Pretty cool, isn't it?
That is very, that's more than pretty cool. That's very cool.
See, when it works, it works. I'm glad I got to share that with everyone. Mike says, what does KBB say about that? Well, tune in to tomorrow's show. Maybe we'll do a comparison of the offers from companies like Echo Park, Driveway, et cetera, versus what KBB has to say. That'd be pretty interesting.
And the difference is KBB aligns with local dealers. So those offers come from local dealers, you know, and some will be more aggressive than others, just like Echo Park was certainly much more aggressive than, say, Carvana.
And the thing is, also, when you do KBB, you get spammed. Like, let's just be very clear. Like, I've done KBB a bajillion times, and you just, for weeks on end, I got called. I ran one recently for a BMW just testing it out on KBB. And Telen from Orisman BMW here in Maryland just keeps calling me. And I'm like, man, I'm not in the market. Like, please do not contact me. The reason we partnered with Carwiser, and I encourage everyone to try, they're like, they think similarly to us. Like, if someone's going to sell their car, you know what? They're going to sell it. Like, we don't need to spam them. Like, that's the whole point of being essentially advocates for helping you sell your car. So give it a try. Pops, let's call it a show. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have used car market data. And man, oh man, the GM conversation from earlier today is just like, I'm still processing. So Steve Leto, if you end up watching this, please collaborate with us. We need to get your take on this.
Absolutely. I'd love to sit and chat with Steve.
All right, Pops, I'll catch you tomorrow.
Absolutely. So for everybody out there, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with more news that you can use from YAA. Have a great day, everybody.
Join us again next time,
which is probably tomorrow,
to get the news you can use from YAA. YAA is your trusted source for all things auto. Thanks for listening.
See you soon.